Welcome to the Tales of an African Princess in America podcast. My name is Uzi. I created this podcast to talk about amazing Africans who are doing wonderful things all around the globe. These are everyday people like you and I who are making a difference in the fields of business, science, and the arts, and living their lives to the fullest. I really hope that they inspire you as they have inspired me. So sit back and enjoy every single episode because it's made with lots of love. Hello and good evening. My name is Ozzy and today I have three people with me. Hi baby, you want to say hi? Mama. Well, I hope you guys heard that. That is introducing
the third member of the podcast.
The third member of the podcast. Her name is
Jasmine Adekunbi.
Oh, Nike, we're telling you all her names, but don't go open a credit card in your name. We're not going to tell you her date of birth or social security. Yay, but we have our little girl here with us, and we're so excited, you guys. It's been 3 long months. Oh, Lord Jesus. Ada, you want to give them a little update?
It's been a very interesting 3 months. Luckily, we had some family members come over and help out.
Mm-hmm. Shout out to Sis Banke and Rich Auntie Chichi.
the whole process of, I think we might have spoken about like the house moving process briefly.
We didn't really talk about it. We did say we were trying to find a place and we ended up buying a house, but yeah, excited.
And if you hear the baby in the background, she's fine.
She's cooing. She's already three, so exciting times. 3 months, yeah. I said three. Go ahead.
Yeah. So that happened. We got a house. We're in the process of just like trying to figure out how to make it work. Right. How to fill it up with things.
Mm-hmm.
Furniture is expensive.
It is expensive. And it takes forever.
Takes forever, especially in this country. It takes forever to get furniture to you.
Is that how it is in Nigeria? Can you just walk into a furniture store and pay for it and take furniture home? I'm sure you can. Same day?
I'm sure you can.
Mm.
Of course, you can also work with your carpenter.
Just draw something. Design something.
it's a whole process here.
Yeah.
It took just for us to get a...
Literally.
To get the couch.
Yeah. It literally came last week.
So we've had
3 months.
Our guests just sit down on the carpet, just relax.
It was a really empty space for a long time. We moved about 2 months before the baby was born. So we moved in October. We closed in October, and then the baby came in December, and then we moved back. We haven't even done a labor and delivery vlog or episode, but life has just taken over, you guys. Like, I had all these plans. I was gonna do all these things, record all these episodes, and once you start taking of a newborn, it's like time just, all the days just kind of merge into one big day.
Yesterday feels like today.
Exactly.
Today feels like yesterday.
Exactly. And the only way I know that it's the end of the week is because we have to take out the trash on Thursdays. They pick it up on the Fridays. So that's how I know that the week is over and then another week is coming, So it's been.
We also have special guests coming in tomorrow.
Yay! My parents are coming tomorrow. So happy! Good. I'm so happy. You have no idea. Like, I thought that my mom was gonna be here to help me push, because my sister, my immediate older sister, she was there and she was even holding one leg when the doctor was saying push, for the first baby. So I always had that. It's what I call a fantasy, or It was more like something I really wanted for my mom to be there. Like, how in Lion King, when they presented the baby to the pride, I kind of wanted my mom to, be in that setting, but it wasn't to be. And it turned out to be just myself and Addy. And actually, it turned out to be a beautiful thing because it was such an intimate process.
Especially with COVID, couldn't necessarily have a lot of people around.
We couldn't.
So it was just very, at least for me anyway, I know it was a little bit more stressful. for you, but it was a just a very chill. You know, we even brought music into the room.
Yeah, you brought music. You brought a speaker, actually, to the living room. It's so sweet. I remember you taking a break, though, for a minute. Like, you had
there was one day. I think it was it either the delivery day itself or a couple of hours. I don't know. Time was just
merging
into each other.
Right.
But I had to go get
some air.
I had to go get air, and I think I also had some painkillers in the car.
Mm.
And, you know, the parking lot is just one confusing place.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to go downstairs, get some air. You know, the rooms, the first room or the second room, I can't remember which one it was, you know, was windowless. So you really couldn't even figure out what time of the day it was, except if you looked at your watch or your, you know, your phone.
Right.
But I knew that I had to go get something to eat,
mm-hmm.
get air, you know, take my pain meds.
Someone else is in labor. Someone else is taking papers.
Yeah, you know, it's a horrible feeling, actually, because I was like, you know, you don't want to. Now is not the time to be feeling sick.
And right.
It was horrible. But I still went, you know, downstairs to just get something to eat, just right. kind of clear my head. You know, I think, I don't know if have we even spoken about anything about the
labor? No, you're just jumping into it. But
yeah.
Go ahead. It's just the minute that you stepped out. That everything started happening at once, mm-hmm. you know, like, it's a long story. I don't even know where to start, you guys. So the last time I went to my doctor, before the baby was born, this I still had a good month to go. He told me that this is going to be one of the last visits. She's like, this baby needs to come out right now. Mm-hmm. Mama, you want to say something? You say something, Mama?
No, she's quiet.
Anyway, so the doctor was like, well, I think we've come to the end of these visits. I think this baby needs to come out now because I had, you know, I had signs of preeclampsia, right? And you really don't want that. That's when you have high blood pressure pregnant and, you know, that can be lead to lots of complications. So she told me, well, pick between Saturday and sometime before Wednesday next week. So we went home. She was like, okay, I'm going to be on call on Saturday. You guys want to come in on Saturday night or do you want, but this was like Friday. Or Thursday. So in my head, I'm just like, you mean this week? She was like, yeah, I mean, like, when you're gonna have a baby, I guess you have to be mentally prepared for, like, labor. And I wasn't there yet. I wasn't there at all. So I was like, I don't want Saturday. Maybe I'll take Tuesday.
Mm.
Yeah, so I still remember when us checking into the hospital on Tuesday night.
Actually, the day before, we did a photo shoot.
We did do a photo shoot because I told you know, it was totally unexpected.
Mm.
And I was telling you the day before, I was like, I haven't done a photo shoot with this belly and it's about to go down. And I was like, don't worry. You know, and you made it happen. You're like, let's go to, where did we go to? We did the shopping.
We got some clothes.
Yeah, went to the mall. And you took charge of like the, what do you call that whole thing? The wardrobe. And then you took me to this girl. Shout out to, Amshay was really good with the makeup last minute.
Mm-hmm.
And
we took the pictures.
Yeah, from Amshay's house, went to
a studio. what was that studio? It was like in Goodsetville. It was far,
yeah.
Yeah, it's really far.
The whole time I'm thinking, oh my God, tomorrow night I have to check in the hospital and I'm trying to get this photo shoot now. Is this crazy? Shouldn't I be in bed right now? Yeah. But the photo shoot was good. It took my mind off stuff. And then I came home and tried to park my hospital bag. I still remember the drive to the hospital. We're still getting gifts from Amazon and all kinds of places. My friend Titi had just sent us another car seat and stroller. And I was like, oh my God, yet another one. I was like, yeah, time to have this baby. So we go to the hospital. Oh my God, a lot of women are giving birth. There was no space.
We were like in the waiting room.
Yeah, in the waiting room. But because I was, just go. Okay, but because mine was like medically indicated, they're gonna make space for me. All right, hold on, let me go get baby a blanket. So we get to the hospital on Tuesday night and whatever month, I don't remember, but it was December. And, you know, we try to check in and they were like, well, we don't have any room right now, but some of our patients are gonna check out later tonight. You guys can hang tight in the reception area. So I was like, okay. Then we go to the cafeteria and I get the biggest burger I could find. And I don't know what you get, but it's like some fries. And hospital food is different, you guys. Like, it's healthy. If you have a healthy burger, have you ever had a healthy burger before? It's like the mayo is not complete. It's like, I don't know what it tastes like. It tastes like some calories I'm missing. Or it's like, it's healthy. Try to make you eat healthy. Anyway, so we take our time eating, and then we go back upstairs to labor and delivery on the fourth floor, and we still have to wait. Finally, this really nice male nurse comes to us and says, "It's time. Let's go. Come on now." And I remember asking him that, is the induction to, because I was getting induced. Well, I had preeclampsia, and so the baby wasn't ready to come out, but they wanted the baby to come out at 37 weeks. So they had to induce to kind of get the contractions going so the baby can head down. So I asked the nurse, I was like, is the induction going to be tonight? And he was like, that's why you're here, right? You know what someone's trying to be? It's just nice to be, give you a smart answer. Honestly, I shall smack the back of his head. You know, like
you just came to go to sleep.
You know how, I don't remember, you remember in primary school when they used to give people like uppercuts on their uncle? When he said that, I felt like giving you uppercuts. This is like crazy. Anyway, so from that moment on, I lost track of time. I wasn't sure what day it was. I didn't know when I had the baby. I just knew that the days were emerging. I opened my eyes, closed my eyes. Something else is happening, you know. But Ade was in the room the whole time. And I remember they were moving us from room to room. Mm-hmm. After a while, you know, when the contractions started kicking in, I noticed that you were, oh my God, I don't know where you were. Like you were holding my hand, breathe, mm-hmm. praying. And then after a while, I noticed that you were just, you kind of passed out. I was like, Ade, I think you should get some air.
Yeah, it's very uncomfortable sleeping on those. I mean, the chairs were reclinable, but still.
It's not designed for you to be at home. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we don't want people to be like, let me just stay here. Mm-hmm. But you looked like you needed air, and there was no window. Like, how do you have, in the room that you're laboring in, there's no window to even look outside mm-hmm. to, like, see the stars or see the trees or something. It was just like, okay, look at these walls and you know, count 1 to 10.
I guess you're just conditioned to believe that it's all happening in one day.
Exactly. Maybe. So maybe you don't.
Exhaustion. You know, isn't it like a thing in the brain where mm-hmm. when you see you know outside getting dark, you start getting tired.
I don't know. That's the reason, though.
Speculating. Yeah.
Maybe it kind of helps with you not really knowing how long you're in pain or, mm-hmm. you know what I mean, maybe mm-hmm. that's what it is. I don't know, but yeah. And the pain was another to be honest, I don't even remember the pain. I know exactly what it felt like at the moment, but talking to you guys right now is like it happened to someone else, so. so I got an epidural, yay, and it was good for a while, and then you headed out to go take some air because things were kind of uneventful after a while. And then I said, okay, let me take a quick nap, right? At this point, the pain was coming back. Like, it was hitting me like I didn't have epidural, right? So I called the anesthesiologist, and I was like, I'm feeling pain like I shouldn't be feeling, you know. And then they try to test to see, they're like, okay, are you feeling this? Are you feeling that? And they're like, well, you're feeling pain in places that you shouldn't be feeling any pain. We're going to up the dose or something. I don't remember what it was. But as soon as they did that, my blood pressure dropped and the baby went into distress, right? Basically, I couldn't feel any part of my body. And I just felt like six people carrying me on like hospital sheets. So I was, you know, I was just there shouting, my husband is not here. They're like, ma'am, we're just trying to reposition you so that the baby's heart rate can go back up. And I was just shouting, my husband is not here. So they said, okay, we're going to give you a phone to call him. That's when I started calling you. Now, back to the story where I started calling you in the car, right? Now, what were you doing in the car?
No, I was actually in the... I think I just left the cafeteria and I was on the phone with my brother. I was actually walking back because I had some food in my hand. So I was walking back. I think I was about to enter the elevator and I probably had like limited service or something. So that's why I think when you call, the line cut, and then I think you call the guy, try to call back again. Mm. Then you were explaining what was happening.
Yeah.
You know, and then I kind of has started rushing back to the room. Yeah, it was a bit of a moment.
Yeah, but it was a beautiful moment. Like, I just remember being so tired, getting on WhatsApp video call with my parents and just telling them I'm so exhausted and this thing is not progressing.
Everyone was calling. Everybody,
even my boss was calling Ade like endlessly. I was like, how is this guy coping? Because everybody was calling for updates. Like my whole family in Nigeria, Ade's family, my boss. It was endless, you know? And at some point your phone died and you just didn't bother charging up. Because you're like, yeah, they hear what they hear, right? And at some point the doctor came in and was like, well, they put their hands behind them. I knew it was what was coming next, right? And this was like after like 37 hours of labor, right? It's a long time. And they were like, well, you're not progressing past 5 cm. We're going to have to get this baby out, blah, blah, blah. I was just like, yes, yes, please. Yes. You know? And yeah, it was going to be CS. But a cesarean session, right? It was going to be an operation, right? And I just remember, but
before that, do you want to talk about what was his name? Chelsea?
Chevy.
Mm-hmm.
No, Chevy. Okay, you guys. So I didn't go with a black OBGYN, right? I didn't go. My doctor wasn't black because I guess I didn't really think that because I'm black, I need to go with a black doctor. No, I wanted to go based on recommendation, qualification, and just be free in my mind, be open to getting help from whoever was qualified, right? So I didn't want to limit it and say, oh, first I want a black doctor, you know. That just didn't sit well with me. So I was like, okay. So I went to a team of OBs and midwives. And, you know, there's white, there's black, there's, you know, Indian, whatever. You kind of rotate through them. And finally, because the day you go into labor, you never know who's going to be on call. So it was actually a good idea, right? And I was like, yeah, I guess, you know, it doesn't matter to me who takes care of me and anything. Well, on the day of delivery, everybody who took care of me was white, which was not a problem at all, right? But when you're in that amount of pain, you really want to... Representation matters. You guys, representation matters. So I was there in pain and you know, everybody was coming in and there was, you know, sweet white people and I loved them. And I didn't even know that it wasn't a thing to me, right? I was just there like, you know, okay, fine. My doctor's Asian. This one is white. This one is, you know, different colors. And then right before the doctors tell me I'm going to have an operation, in walks this nurse, right? And by that time, I was counting 1 to 10 because when the pain starts and, it's in waves, right? And so you kind of count 1 to 10 and then you get to 10. Hopefully, the pain has gone down a little bit. So as I was counting, I got to 6 and then I turned around and my eyes were like, I was wearing my glasses, but I could see, I was like, you're black.
And she just burst out laughing.
She's like, yeah, I'm black. I was like, are you the only black person in this building? And she was like, no, we're not a lot though. And at that moment, I realized that, you know, when you're going through certain experiences, you just want to see someone that looks like you. You just really want to connect and you just want to feel like somebody like you is around. I don't know how to explain it, but in that moment, I understood what they meant by representation matters. It matters, you guys. If you walk into a room, you want to see someone that looks like you. And if you're the only one in a room that looks like you, I hope that you hold the door open for someone else to, you know, come into that room, whatever that room is. It could be a boardroom, it could be a nursing room, it could be an operation room, theater, whatever. But representation matters anyway. And she was the sweetest person ever. She told me, she's like, I've had 5 children without any pain meds. You can do this. Because at this point, they turned off my pain meds because it was causing the baby some distress. And so it was like, anyway, she was sweet. And then I looked over at Ade, and Ade was all running around trying to get his camera. Like I want, what, you know, you didn't even seem like stressed out about me going to have an operation. You were just like,
you were over it at this point. So
no, I was over it. I was just like, I want this to end. I was like, get this baby out of me now. I guess I got to the point where I said I was never gonna have sex again. I had said that and people just burst out laughing. I think they hear that all the time. I was like, I'm never having sex again. Oh my god. Anyway, so I get wheeled into the operating room. You know, they position you and, you know, everything. And then Ade comes in like 10 minutes later. This room is super bright, you guys. Ugh. Cold. And I'm there telling Ade that I'm so sleepy. I want to sleep. And Ade was like, sleep, ke.
Where are you sleeping to? Open
your eyes. I was like, I'm so sleepy. Ade was like, no, don't sleep. Open your eyes. I was like, my God.
I think they're giving you another dosage of, like, you know, pain meds.
Right. Anyway, they bring out the baby. And I hear the baby cry. And then I think they give the baby to Ade.
So I had to go see her first.
Yeah.
I had to go around and see what she looks like. Mm-hmm. No. That's a lie. They actually, once the baby came out,
mm-hmm.
Fast forward, you know, excluding all the details.
Right.
They show the baby through, like, this clear screen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then, you know, they clean up the baby.
Right.
And then they bring her back.
Mm-hmm.
This baby doesn't want to sleep. They bring her back.
It's almost 11 p.m.
And she's, I think they had wrapped her and everything.
Right. And then Ade brought the baby to me to see the baby, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he put the baby so close to my eyes. I'm just like, Ade, move this baby a little bit. Like, see, like, when something is so close to your face, you can't really see it, right? It has to be like, I was really happy. I give the baby a kiss, but then I was like, I can't really see the baby this close. Like, move the baby out a little bit. And then I was so tired. I was so sleepy. I was, ugh.
So they roll us out of the operating room.
Right.
And we're in another room. How many rooms were we in? I don't know. A recovery room, Sean.
Yeah. It's like a warm place. So after the surgery, they take you to this warm area. You know, so your body warms back up.
Mm-hmm.
Since it's been open, you can easily get the shivers. And I took my favorite socks because someone told me I was going to be cold, but I never got the shivers. So, hey.
Actually, you did.
Oh, I did?
Yeah. When you were on the epidural.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you did.
I don't remember that.
Yeah.
You guys, you see the birth. We should let Ade do the birth story. Yeah.
So we had to stay at the hospital for a few more days because she had to get her weight up because
mm-hmm.
she was a little skinny like me. You know, that was also another thing because the rooms were just getting more and more uncomfortable. At this point, it wasn't even about us anymore. They're like, oh, we're just here to monitor the baby.
Right. You know?
But yeah, so that happened for, I think we were in the hospital for additionally 2 days.
From the time I gave birth.
Were there for 5 days?
To the night we left was 5 days.
My goodness.
Because I had the baby.
Yeah.
I stayed 3 days. Then baby stayed extra 2 days. Anyway, going home with the baby was the best part of it. Like, I was so happy to see the outside world. And we're like, oh my God, we're going home to no couch. We had a bed.
We had some great, great help, however.
Yeah.
We had great help because we had friends that, you know, I had a friend that cooked food for us.
Oh, shout out
food
to
that was, you know, I was supposed to honestly pay for.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, oh, no, you just have it, you know. So, like, jollof rice,
a lot of
boy moi, you know, just like a lot.
She made
food.
pepper soup, she made jollof rice, right. She made moi moi, she made stewed chicken, stewed beef, stewed goat meat, stewed fish.
Yeah,
oh my goodness, like.
Yeah.
She was an angel. Like, I met a lot of angels. Chevy was one, the nurse. And then Tosin's another really, really amazing lady.
Yeah. I was really, really grateful. Because, you know, even just the idea of even cooking was just...
Very far.
Yeah.
Very, very far.
And
from
then
me.
Ozzy's friend as well set up Ozzy's friend and her family. Titi
set up a meal train.
Yeah.
So we... Oh, my God. That was sweet, though. Yo, only, I wish that meal train. I know, right?
So I'm meeting 1 month.
I know, because I'm just like, you know, yeah. Titi just called, like, what do you guys want to have for breakfast?
Oof.
Next thing, food will arrive. And the way it works is, you don't even meet the person dropping the food.
Mm-hmm.
They just drop it at your front door, press the bell and leave.
Mm-hmm.
You just go open the door, take the food to the kitchen, to unravel. Mm-hmm. What am I going to be surprised with? It was so good.
Yeah.
It was so good. Like,
yeah, we had good Indian food. Yeah.
You guys, it's Indian. Mm. She did American. She did Thai.
Mm-hmm.
She did. She did Italian. She did Italian. Titi, do Italian next time. Italian. No, it was really, really good. I'm blessed to have amazing friends. So that's the second lesson, you guys. The first lesson is representation matters. The second lesson is you need a community, you guys. You can't do life by yourself. You need a group of friends. You need people that will support you. Because you can't do it by yourself. It's going to be unnecessarily difficult, you know? So get a community. I think we said this before. Mm-hmm. During the hurricane, we're talking about, you know, get a church group or get a group of friends mm-hmm. or something. But it's really important, you guys. Very important.
Yeah, so, you know.
But the first few days, whew.
So I think we were here maybe one day. When did Pankia come?
The same day we got discharged.
Oh, yeah, well,
because
yeah.
he dropped me at home and went back to get her. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was saying, okay, so Banker came the same day that you got discharged. And then...
With Fola. How are you leaving Fola out?
With Fola, yes.
Fola is mm-hmm. Ade's niece. Mm-hmm. She's 6-year-old niece, right?
Very, very inquisitive. Extremely inquisitive. Yep. So, so they came around for 2 weeks, which was you know, super helpful as well.
Very helpful.
You know, had very... very nice meal. We had a really nice breakfast as well.
I was so stressed out, you guys.
So we're really grateful that they came around. We also took some pictures too. Oh, that was the time that we took her newborn pictures. You know, try to put something together. Of course, because of COVID and everything, so we had to do everything in house. Yep. So we put that up.
You did the pictures yourself. Mm. It was really good. Good father-daughter bonding time. Yes, mama. Mm-hmm.
You know, she's going to this phase where she has, like, different coos for different things. Yeah.
She's like, I don't know what you guys are talking about, but I'm over it. And then the thing is, her face keeps changing.
Mm. The introduction of life. Yes. You know, but yeah, I mean, like I said, it was an interesting period. And then, of course, after that, you know, Chi-Chi came as well. Mm-hmm. Chi-Chi's OC sister.
Yeah.
You know, came, you know, and we were able to at least do some things outdoors.
Right.
We tried going out, which was, I don't think was a good idea. How old was she? She was probably like a couple of weeks. We didn't go out like that. We went out to a, like an outdoor.
Trail?
When Banky was here. So when.
Oh, yeah. We went to the drive-in theater.
Yeah. Yeah, she was fine for a couple of hours.
She was screaming,
but then on her way back home, she was screaming. She wasn't. She was like, "What is this?" You know, I'm not used to. Yeah, so yeah. Anyway, life lessons. But and then, you know, now she's a little, you know, calmer, I guess. Yeah. You know, she knows how to comport herself when she's in the car.
Yeah.
To some extent,
she just sleeps, or she coos, mm-hmm. or she cries mm-hmm. if she's hungry or wet.
Mm-hmm. When Chi-Chi came around, we at least, you know, decided to go out for a walk with her. Mm. I'm trying to remember why I ended up carrying her.
During the walk?
Yeah.
Oh, because she was shocked. She was making noise. Like, she didn't want to, she was crying.
She didn't want to be in the...
in the stroller anymore.
Oh, yeah. I was...
Oof. Strollito. Yeah, you guys. It's all been... my life has all about been all about baby recently. It's baby this, baby that. Everything is just centered around the baby. We've learned so much just being first-time parents. Like, mm-hmm. we've had to learn the hard way because we haven't had a ton of people around. You guys know COVID stuff. Mm-hmm. And by the way, we got vaccinated. I got vaccinated.
I haven't gotten vaccinated.
I just waiting for his turn, but he'll mm-hmm. get it soon.
I've had multiple tests, however.
Yeah. Oh, he's had a lot of COVID tests.
For most of the jobs that I do, mm-hmm. Like I recently did something for the CMAs.
Even before you went to the hospital to have the baby, you were already having COVID tests, like a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. So, like work related.
Music.
Country Music Country Awards. Music. Yeah. Okay. Yes, I'm in Nashville, so.
Yeah,
there's a lot of country stuff. So there was a project that we did, and even though the representatives of the CMAs were, I can speak about this. I think even though the CMA reps were remote, they expected everyone that was on set, to, you know, have done a COVID test and be COVID negative. I don't know if there was any liability issues there, but. Yeah, so everyone just had to do the tests, and I had, for most of the things that I was doing in that period, I was regularly tested. So I guess that was one safety. Yeah, so you know, that's what's been going on these past couple of, you know, past couple of months, I guess. I know you've done some ep you've done an episode.
Yeah, I did an episode last week for Black History Month. Had an incredible guest, really talented lady, visionary. I really enjoyed having her on here. But then I took a long break because baby is my everything right now. She is like, I'm going back to work in about a week. Oh my God, I'm going back to work in a week. And so I'm trying to spend as much time with her as I can. Thankful that my mom is coming tomorrow and she's gonna help me with the baby. Because we try to get the baby to into any daycare, anyone, but it's a long line, you
There's a
guys.
major wait list.
Wait list is so long, and there are lots of people having babies. It's ridiculous. Like, you're supposed to get your baby on the wait list even before the baby is born. So I didn't know what he told me this.
It's you that now has the baby that you think you
I put the baby on the list on the 9th month. Yeah.
have we gotten any feedback from them?
No, they only told me they're opening a new center. If I wanted to be on a new center wait list, I was like,
Jeez.
yeah.
How far is that center?
It's like maybe 2 streets or 3 streets from work. So not too bad. My God, she's eating as if her food is running away.
Okay, I guess that's we can call that a cut for this episode.
Yes. Yeah, so you guys, we are, this is just a 3 month update. We're just, everything is all about baby right now. She's beautiful, by the way. And oh my God. She's so pretty. Like,
I don't know who she looks like.
yeah, I
She
still don't know who she
looks
looks
like
like.
someone.
You know, if they didn't show me this baby when she was born, I wouldn't have known she was mine.
You know, everyone has their own opinion. Like, oh, she looks like Cozy, and someone says, oh, they look like Addie. I mean, of course, they look. The baby looks like the both of us.
Yeah, she
So,
does look like a amalgamation of the Eastern and
Wazobia.
Western parts of Nigeria. All right. Well, there you go, guys. That's like the first 3 months of our lives. We've been all about baby. We've had a great time. Busy setting up the house alongside. Addy has just this week set up his study, his office, home office, and it's looking good. So I'm proud of you for doing that. Looking
Thank you
forward
for taking
to.
your box of shoes.
Oh my God, you guys. We decided that we were each gonna keep 10 shoes, 10 pairs of shoes each. I don't know how that's gonna work because right now I feel like I have 50 after like 2 trips to
Goodwill.
Goodwill. But I'm happy where we are because we're like, it's so easy for us to give stuff away. I feel like we've had like a paradigm shift in our the way that we think, and it's easy for us to like downsize now because moving, we moved, we didn't call any movers. We moved ourselves.
That moving, that was also
Oh my God.
another story on its own.
Because we live like 10 minutes from where we our
No,
old apartment
15.
is 15, it was 15 minutes away, so we felt that we could move ourselves. And because it was on, this is a new
We started
construction.
moving like just like by mistake, actually.
Yeah, because this is a new construction, we're like, oh, we know when the house will be ready, and so we're going to move in batches, right?
No, it wasn't even planned. It was just like, oh, there's one box that we've already boxed. Let's just, when we're going there to kind of
Yeah.
sign this document,
Yeah,
we'll
let's
just
just
carry
take
it,
the
you know,
box
and just,
there.
and then, you know, oh, I'm passing by.
Let me drop
Let me go
something
and drop some.
else.
Next thing, we had already moved. At
Half
least,
of the
no.
house.
You know, I think again, let's kind of make that an episode on its own.
So you guys, thank you so much for being patient with us. With, you know, with this frequency of our episodes have really changed, but we're still here. We love you guys. We're still making episodes. We're gonna try to make them as often as we can, but please bear with us because it's not been easy with the pandemic. We don't have a lot of help. And we're just trying to make it work, right? We're just two people, zero experience with babies. I mean, we have experience with our nieces and nephews, but it's not quite the same when you have your own baby because
It's like
nobody kind
full
of takes the
time.
baby from you at night. Baby is yours all night. So we're trying to figure out a lot of things out. Like, we have to Google how to bathe a baby and stuff.
You know, let me tell you the funniest thing that happened to me the other day. So I was talking to my sister, right? I'd put the baby down, right, in our bedroom. You know, I was doing something here. I put the baby down, I received a phone call from my sister, and I was talking to her, and we were kind of going over some tax issues.
Right.
And I just, you know, I just walk into the office,
right.
And I'm just kind of working away. I'd received an email, responded to that email.
Mm.
Then my sister was like, "Where's the baby?" I was like, "Wait, which baby?" You know? And then, of course, she was safe.
Right.
She was in a chair.
It's funny now, but it could be actually.
Yeah, yeah. You know, she was in a chair. So, it happens like that. Sometimes you're like, wait, you actually, there's someone that you're responsible for.
Yeah.
You know, you can't just like go off and just, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's, well, she's precious though.
She's precious. And her face keeps changing every day. Mm-hmm. It's like, who is she going to look like tomorrow?
She's at the phase of being, of recognizing us.
Yes.
You know, and
she knows who we are now.
She knows who we are. And, you know, it's when she smiles, it's not just because she's pooing or anything,
no,
you know, but she's smiling because she's generally happy and
she recognizing
your voice. Yeah. When she's getting changed, you know, she's extremely happy.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Well, yeah, she's beautiful.
You know, tell them what Adekunbi means. A jewel has been born to the crown. You want to say something more? Okay, so thank you guys for listening to this episode. We're going to do a little bit more in the future and bring you guys up to speed. Thank you and have an amazing day. Bye-bye.
Bye, Mama.
Bye. Oh, he's going to say bye-bye.
Do you know that about one in every three people in the United States listen to at least one podcast every month? That's millions of people listening. And do you also know that every month, thousands of podcast listeners listen to the Tales of an African Princess in America podcast? Well, do you have a business, service, or event that you would love others to hear about? Then look no further. To promote your services on the podcast, send an email to talesbydrozy@gmail.com today. Or you can visit our website at www.talesofanafricanprincessinamerica.com.